many a parent has been driven crazy by kids leaving the lights on all over the house. The usual argument, that's costing us money on the utility bill. But a new argument might be turning off the lights could save lives. A team of researchers at UW-Madison used several different models to measure the impact that energy conservation can have on human health. Tracy Holloway is the Gaylord Nelson Distinguished Professor in the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies and the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at UW-Madison. She was the senior author of the study. Tracy, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I know a lot of the work you do is about connecting the dots. Connect these dots for us. We turn off the lights in our house, we save some energy, we conserve, and it helps human health. Why?
Yeah, so it's not a surprise that when you save electricity in your home or in businesses, that there's fewer electrons that have to flow through the wires, and that's because the power plants don't have to work as hard. And power plants are a major source of air pollution, including carbon dioxide that's affecting global climate, but also pollutants that directly impact human health. These include nitrogen oxides and sulfur dioxide, which cook up in the atmosphere to form fine particles, and near-surface ozone. And both of those are associated with a wide range of health impacts, including premature deaths. So one of the thoughts that we were trying to calculate is, how would a pretty modest energy efficiency scenario, a what-if question, and in our case we looked at 12% energy efficiency, what would that mean in terms of lives saved, and also in terms of avoiding the worst air pollution days across the United States?
Yeah, before we get into some of the numbers, those worst air pollution days, I've talked to you about this a little bit before, they're often in the summer, right?
Absolutely.
What are the differences? Why is that in the summer? Why are things worse then?
Yeah, so ozone is a chemical that we hear about in different ways. So sometimes we say it's good up high because up in the stratosphere, it protects us from incoming radiation, but it's bad at the surface. Sometimes I use the metaphor that, you know, just like sunblock is really good for keeping sun's radiations away, we don't want to drink it, and we also don't want to be breathing in ozone at the surface of the Earth.
Go ahead.
No, but this ozone, it cooks up, and what it needs is sunlight and warm temperatures. So here in Wisconsin, those are really a summertime issue.
Now, you used a few different models to try to figure out what conservation would mean for human health, for mortality rates among people, among other things. What kind of things did you do to try to tease out that connection?
Yeah, well, first there's the question of what power plants would be turning off or on or cranking down a little bit to if we're trying to save energy. And this is a question isn't that easy, because if you're in a particular city in Wisconsin, even if there's a power plant nearby, that power plant may or may not be providing your electricity. So when you save electricity, it's affecting power plants all across the eastern United States here in Wisconsin. In the western U.S., it's similarly connected. So the first model we used was trying to move from the actions across the United States to the specific power plants that would be affected by energy savings. Once we know which power plants are turning on and off, we can know what chemicals are being released into the atmosphere at different rates, and then what's cooking up. Because we want to know if a power plant in Ohio is turning on and off, that's going to have a different impact than a power plant in Wisconsin or in Massachusetts.
What kind of difference did you see energy conservation making when it came to saving lives?
Yeah, we found that across the United States, we found lives saved from avoided particulate matter and avoided ground level ozone. And in a state like Wisconsin, those numbers are between 2 and 5 lives saved per year. In bigger states with bigger populations, you see bigger impacts. But keep in mind, these aren't huge numbers, but we also looked at a very modest energy efficiency scenario. So one of the ways we tried to compare apples to apples is to look at the dollar value of those lives saved using a standard value from the Environmental Protection Agency of about $8 million in value per death avoided. And so when you run the numbers in terms of the value of the lives that you're saving from reducing a kilowatt hour of electricity, we calculated about 5 cents in health benefits per kilowatt hour saved. And a kilowatt hour cost about 10 cents. So really, each time you save electricity, you're saving money in your pocketbook, but you're also having a measurable savings in terms of the health benefits spread across the whole U.S. population.
What kind of changes would look like that level of energy conservation cuts in someone's house, in someone's workplace? What kind of difference would we feel?
Yeah. A typical home uses about 900 kilowatt hours per month. So talking about the equivalent of a little bit more than a day's worth of your home electricity, or 10 hours of TV time, for example, might save 1 kilowatt hour. And that would translate into about 5 cents of savings on somebody's life. So 5 cents is much less than a whole life, of course. But one of the things is that, there's so many people using electricity through so many different formats that it tells us that this is a mechanism where people can save money, we can reduce carbon emissions, we can make our air cleaner, and we can improve life expectancy. And that's a pretty good win-win.
And part of what you're trying to do, as I understand it, is there are people researching energy conservation over here and people studying air pollution over there, mm-hmm. and they don't always get together and share their findings. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. For air pollution, we've made huge benefits over the last few decades. Air is getting cleaner and cleaner because of very effective pollution controls. But those pollution controls are only targeting specific chemicals. And one of the things we're trying to say is, are there more win-win opportunities? Ways to save money, to be moving into a clean energy future, to be reducing carbon emissions, and to be achieving these health and clean air benefits. So over the past few years, we've looked at solar energy, we've looked at building energy use, but this study with energy efficiency is one of the most exciting scenarios, because there's no downside. Saving energy saves everything: money, carbon, air pollution, and lives.
Do you see energy efficiency as kind of a low-hanging fruit in our overall energy picture?
Absolutely. It's one of these things that is invisible. We don't really see how much energy we're using when we choose to buy a refrigerator. All we want is something that keeps our food cold. We don't care if it is using more or less electricity. But there's a lot of technology improvements to make refrigerators more energy efficient and air conditioners more energy efficient. But it also comes in the way that we're building our buildings. If you have trees near your building and there's shade, you don't have to crank the air conditioner as much. If you have sunlight coming into an office building, you don't have to use as many light bulbs. So there's a lot of solutions that are things that people would want to do anyway, and trying to figure out how can we count those benefits to meet our air quality goals and achieve other environmental benefits.
Tracy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Tracy Holloway, professor in the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies and the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at UW-Madison. She joined us to talk about new research that shows that reducing our energy consumption can help save hundreds of lives across the nation each year.